It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Chestnut Health Systems is preparing for a changing of the guard. Longtime CEO Russ Hagen and Chief Operating Officer Alan Sender are headed out the door and toward retirement from the not-for-profit health agency. Incoming CEO Dave Sherrar tells GLT's Charlie Schlenker this presents challenges, but Chestnut is well prepared. Sherrar says Hagen and Sender had been mentoring and preparing for many years for the succession. He does say over the next 5 years, all of those plans will have to come in contact with reality.
You know, our vision for Chestnut is that we become a true integrated delivery system. So sometimes we think of healthcare and mental health and substance abuse care as very siloed, and you go to this agency and you go to this place and then you may get a referral over here. And so our vision is that many of our clients and patients can have access to a true team approach for any kind of disorder or condition that they're bringing forward.
What are the challenges to that integration from the state, from the federal government, and from society as a whole? Let's start with the state.
The funding mechanisms don't always support integration. The way that we're reimbursed still silos things. We still have, you know, in the state, a Department of Mental Health or a Department of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse. And so I think there is a sense that we move to a Department of Human Services, and all these services really need to connect and work hand in hand rather than be treated separately.
And the federal level, what are the challenges there?
Yeah, at the federal level, as you're aware, Charlie, we put in place a federally qualified health center. So Chestnut, in the past 3 years, has entered into the primary healthcare business. So at the federal level, we have challenges around Medicaid reimbursement, the security of Medicaid reimbursement, how important that is for access for many of the patients that we serve here in McLean County and our other service areas. So really making sure that we have a solid Medicaid reimbursement plan that supports access here, I think, is a big challenge.
You had never really thought you would get into the federally qualified center business.
Yeah, it was interestingly, federally qualified health centers have been around for years and years. There are dozens in the state of Illinois. McLean County was really one of the last larger populated or suburban areas to have one in place. We've seen them in Springfield, Peoria, and Decatur, and other places long before we had one here. So there was a definite need, and Chestnut has always had an approach that if there's a community need that needs to be filled, we want to do our best to deliver on that.
Having started it, how are you making it fit into your institutional mission?
Our brand isn't necessarily primary care, so what we have to do is re-educate the community that we have these services now and educate referral sources and, really importantly, make sure that our different programs, because they're not all co-located, they're in different buildings and, you know, even here in Bloomington Normal, we have different facilities and we also have other service areas in the state. But we want to make sure that there's really good cross-referral and communication between our programs. So if someone comes into our crisis mental health detox unit, let's say for a detox issue and they haven't seen a primary care doc in 20 years, that we make sure they have a good physical and that we identify those needs and we get that patient to that primary care doc, and that primary care doc's talking to counseling staff and nursing staff on that detox unit and they're communicating about the needs of that patient. So those are the challenges, making sure that all of our parties have, both from a medical record standpoint and a communication standpoint, the ability to do that.
What is the uncertainty over the direction of healthcare at the federal level doing to you in the ability to construct this new network of referrals and new emphasis and the ability to get funded for the cohesion that has to happen to make it work?
Yeah, you know, Charlie, there have been just periodic threats to Medicaid funding, especially in the past year or so, and that is so vital because we know that a lot of these patients, if they don't get access to care, their healthcare problems will continue. Many of them term chronic, many of them are long-term. There's a tendency for these types of patients to end up in the emergency rooms, and our goal is to keep them out of there and provide preventative care and make sure that we're treating the whole person.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Dave Sherrar. One more challenge to the integration that you've been talking about is society. Is society buying into the new wellness paradigm yet? And how do we bring ourselves to adopt that to lower medical costs across the board?
I think we are seeing movement there where there is more awareness around the need to self-direct and to take responsibility for our own health and well-being, and to do things to monitor our own health. I think we're seeing that. We're seeing a lot of tools emerge where to help people do that.
So, like what?
Not that they all work the same way, Charlie, but for example, there are some technology devices that help people track things, even in people recovering from substance use disorder, where different apps can help them monitor their behavior and trigger points for relapse and this sort of thing. And certainly with diabetes and other chronic conditions, we see a lot of tools out there to help with this.
One little known aspect about Chestnut is its research arm. Tell us a little bit more about that, would you?
It was part of our CEO, Russ Hagen's vision many years ago that we find ways to help the field as a whole adopt more evidence-based practice, and that we determine which treatments work well for which types of clients. So in that spirit, we created a research institute that started out very small. It's now grown to about 50 staff, and a lot of our funding does come from the National Institutes of Health, National Institute of Drug Abuse, or National Institute of Alcohol and Alcohol Abuse. And the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, a variety of funders. But we have done a number of randomized trials around the country at different treatment sites to determine what treatments work well and what doesn't. And we're working to make sure that practitioners use evidence-based practice, and we monitor their compliance or their fidelity to those approaches so that we know what works. So this is one of the exciting things about Chestnut. And we started out using our own treatment programs as kind of our own lab since they were right in our backyard.
Can you give listeners some examples of the fruits of that research over the years that have moved the needle on practices in what you do?
We did the largest trial in the nation around cannabis and cannabis treatment for youth, where we looked at several different treatment models and different sites. And without going into great detail, as a result of those trials, practices changed. The way youth for cannabis addiction were treated changed, and we found that outcomes improved over time based on some of the findings that we had. We're now engaged. I think it's a really exciting project. Where one of our scientists has done longitudinal studies for 10 and 15 years following individuals discharged from substance use treatment to see what happens as they approach later life, the 50s and the 60s, and doing follow-up on them for decades to see what the conditions are, what the predictors are, how they're doing. Did the rates of incarceration or treatment episodes or homelessness change for these folks? So we're doing exciting work like that. But it's still going on. It was refunded so that we're following people later in life with this.
Primary care with the federally qualified centers, research, addiction treatment, employee improvement and wellness initiatives in 150 companies, credit counseling. How do you tie all that together, and what more do you want to do over the next 10 years?
Yeah, that's a good question, Charlie. I mean, we're a very unique not-for-profit. Unlike most not-for-profits, they might focus on a single population. You know, for example, it might be child welfare, developmental disabilities, or mental health. But Chestnut's always had a very diversified approach. We've been very entrepreneurial, and we run 7 or 8 lines of business, as you just kind of laid out. And I think the strength in that is it's helped us weather some storms because of this great diversity that we do have. Now, not everything you mentioned completely ties together in an integrated fashion, but much of it does. And as I mentioned, that's kind of our challenge now, is to bring together primary health, substance use treatment, different mental health services, and certainly housing. I mean, housing is a huge, huge need for many, many of our clients.
Is that one of those things that will drive improvement in everything else health-related that they do? There, some people make that argument that first comes housing and then comes treatment.
Yeah, it's kind of that basic order of needs, that it's hard for someone to deal with their addiction problem or mental health problem if they don't have adequate or stable housing. And so for many folks, even in our community and others, stable housing is a big part of the solution that we need to address.
Is that something Chestnut should focus on, though, because you have been in the treatment game for so long?
Well, we do have a small housing program, you know, here in McLean County for women with substance use issues. But in the southwest part of the state, we call it Metro East St. Louis, we run 220 housing units for individuals with mental health problems and substance use problems. And we have a lot of experience in that arena, and we even receive funding from HUD to do that.
Are outcomes better in the people in those housing units than they are in the population as a whole?
I think yes. I can't point to the specific studies that focus on that, but certainly people in housing with some support, they move to more independent forms of living, more self-sufficient forms of living, and sometimes that support can be backed off over time because they're getting past some problems and learning to deal with whatever chronic issues they have.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Dave Sherrar, the incoming CEO of Chestnut Health Systems. He starts in January. McLean County government is leaning heavily on your institution to help with the opiate problem and with the mental health issues that have arisen to drive the expansion of the McLean County Jail. Lay out that picture writ small as opposed to globally, would you?
Yeah, I think the McLean County government and administration is really doing some innovative things to address these problems and bring all the players that are necessary together to provide solutions. I think they're looking at some very data-driven approaches to help predict who might be in need of these services and the kind of interventions that would be required. So I think that is underway. And certainly McLean County government understands the need for housing and is involved with some grants to help find solutions to this. If I recall, it's kind of under a model that they're looking to endorse called Pay for Success, where different providers, different agencies, different systems of care get reimbursed based upon achieving certain outcomes, kind of the new trend towards this value-based reimbursement. So I think the county's really doing good work in this area.
Chestnut Health System CEO-designate Dave Sherrar spoke with GLT's Charlie Schlenker. Sherrar is the author of more than 75 articles and studies related to employee assistance, managed care, and behavioral health sciences.